Well, we're in chapter 10 today, continuing that, and we're on verse 5. And again, anytime you have a comment, please make the application. I'll also be looking at Proverbs that would have an impact in your life, okay, or an application, or in other people's lives, you know. Verse 5. We're still dealing here somewhat with the one who is possibly lazy, and it brings it really to the point here in verse 5, chapter 10. He who gathers in summer is a son who acts wisely, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who acts shamefully. That's just talking about what? Laziness?
Diligence.
Contrast there. Summer is typically the harvest time, that sort of thing. And he gathers, and but you sleep during the harvest, what happens to you when winter gets here? You're not prepared, are you? Okay. What is that, like a squirrel doesn't gather nuts? What happens when winter comes? All right? Of course, a squirrel, I guess it's in its nature to do that. Just what they do. All right?
Is this talking, do you think this is totally talking about food and that kind of thing? How do you take this gathering and...
I was thinking about that, and there's a lot of applications to it. Sure, of course. Okay, in preparation, life, other things, whatever it is. Diligence is diligence, and laziness is laziness. But it can really be manifested in this sort of situation, in this agricultural food situation. Because if you don't gather your food, what happens to you? It affects you, doesn't it? Okay, it affects those around you. Hunger starts up in verse 3, righteousness to hunger. And then there's a little idea of negligent hand that works in verse 4. And then we get down here in 5, the idea of summer, wisely, harvest. All that I think kind of goes together, but again, it can have another application in life, certainly.
Do you think that, because even if you gather in the summer, you know, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that, you know, you're going to have enough food to last you through the winter. And then going back to verse 3, where it says the Lord will not allow the righteous to go to hunger, you know, meaning that He's going to take care of you. If you strive to take care of yourself, I mean, if you're going to sit there and expect Him to take care of you and you do nothing to help Him, or to show that you're trying, you follow in my path? Because if you're not trying, then why would you expect Him to help you?
Yes, I see what you're saying there. But also the idea that a wise person, be wise, and God, how does the Lord take care of you? He's given you instructions to be diligent, take wise choices, to prepare. Mm-hmm. All right? And that manifests itself in the idea of not being ready for the cold months, the winter months, those months of no harvest. And we don't have the seasons here. You know seasons, I guess. All right? And when it's up there, it shuts down, doesn't it?
Everything
shuts down.
You don't dig in the
yes,
ground.
That's right.
There's no building, no farming, nothing.
So what I see what you're saying, the idea of miraculous help. I think
right.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Because okay. You hear a lot of people, oh, God says He's going to provide. Well, okay, yeah. No. He's going to help. As long as you're showing that you are putting some effort in.
Yeah. And again, if you're putting effort in, things happen. But
right. Generally,
you know, things are going to be, the needs are going to be met, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Even if you have a congregation, if there's difficulty in one's life and you're a member of God's people, whether in a synagogue or a congregation day, will those needs be met of the individual if you're in hard times?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. We'll band together and help all the way. Okay?
So
and that's always been God's plan.
Could we talk about gathering wisdom and then not using the wisdom?
Sure. But the application of wisdom is in this situation. Okay? Yes. All right?
There's a saying, work as though everything depends on you, and pray as though everything depends on God. And it's not in the Bible, but
right.
It fits this very well,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And remember, Proverbs is things on practical life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
During everyday life. How do we get through? How do we have a life that's fulfilled? One with that sense of security. one that gives a sense of comfort and, you know, contentment and all those sort of things, and getting along. Okay, go ahead.
The thrusting aside the craving of the wicked, in the context of not allowing the righteous to hunger because he's been diligent, what is the thrusting aside that the Lord's going to do?
Well,
the craving of the wicked. What's the craving of the wicked?
Well, the craving there is those desires of the wicked. And those things, that sure, the wicked's going to desire things that he or she believes are going to benefit him only and hurt others. But God rejects that, doesn't he? Would you say it? Well, you had another word there you had. But he will reject the craving of the wicked.
Thrust aside.
In other words, God's going to win those sort of things, that needs that wicked thinks they need. Those needs are not going to be met eventually.
Eventually, but they are in his life, you know. And I saw your comment here. He gets up early, he works late, and does whatever is essential. I don't know if I put a question mark on your sheet there.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Because we all know what workaholics, how you know they're not going to be wise spiritually. They're not going to tend to their family. They're going to work all the time, and so you know it's. Were you just talking about being diligent?
Yeah, that's just the...
You know, not just work, because the winter is coming. Understand what I'm asking?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
And so when it says, but the Lord will thrust aside the craving of the wicked. The wicked craves evil things. You know, he's not diligent about gathering wise things. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so, yes, ma'am.
Okay. But he will do it later, like in verse 8, you know, be thrown down.
There's always a price to pay when you neglect wisdom. Whether it's being thrown down or acting shamefully within the community or whatever it is, there is a price to pay. And that's what God does not want. Always be the good example, always be the diligent worker, always be one with prudence in their life.
Right, see, my verse 8 doesn't say be thrown down.
And 10 and 8, what does yours say?
We'll get to
mine
that.
Says a babbling fool will be ruined.
Ruined. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's look a minute. All right, now on 6, it's a more general statement, but still correct. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. I think it's clean, isn't it? Blessing on the head of the righteous. Rewards for the right. Okay, honor. But what about the mouth of wicked conceals violence? How does a wicked conceal violence?
He's going to plot and plan, and it's going to be two-faced, as if, you know, that he's...
And this is the mouth, too.
Yes.
It's interesting.
But what I thought was interesting, I know I'm jumping ahead, but the exact same thing is said in verse
mm-hmm.
11.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to see a lot.
The exact same thing. Sure. So it's like that...
That's right.
Mental notes.
The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Sometimes there's a hidden intent in there. Hidden intent. People who are wicked will do that sort of thing. Their mouths will hide their intent.
Lie to hide things.
Yes, okay. Call it half-truths. Call you just doing whatever it is, okay? But it's concealment. And here the interesting is violence comes in. I guess y'all version has the violence too on the end of verse 6. Second one.
Well, they say they have a good heart sometimes, but then their words, whether it's anger or whether it's lying, whether it's slander, whether it's whatever, you know, their heart is really, it's not good, you know, but they pretend that it's good.
Everything they do is a lie, isn't it?
Well,
okay, in one sense or another.
We can harbor hatred and violence in our heart, and our words will, and you know, will match it, whether we want it to or not. But it will come out.
If we talk enough, it will come out.
Yeah, it will.
Along with facial expressions.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll come into that a little bit. Okay?
Right.
Good.
Body language goes back to 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the modern phrase is garbage in, garbage out. So whatever's inside, it's going to come out.
And what motivates our mouth?
Heart
does, doesn't it? Okay.
Yes. Those
things we've learned from other people, seen other people, and the things we've read, isn't it? Okay, and seeing other people put in practice, which is better for the person eventually and in life every day. See those things that are wise to do. All right, and again, we're talking practical knowledge, all right, everyday knowledge. Seven.
Why it's so hard sometimes to forgive somebody that's hurt you, but if you don't, it winds up hurting you.
It's something you're always yearning to do, to forgive them, like especially if they've earned it, or the forgiveness.
But even if they haven't, if you don't, then it winds up hurting you.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You've done what you can. That's right.
Well, it's just like because you've done that, it makes it harder on you.
Yes. Yes, it does. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Key word there is memory of the righteous is blessed. What do you do when you've seen somebody in their life, okay, have done good things? What's that called?
Remember them fondly.
Yeah, remember fondly, reputation. Okay. So there is kind of a thing after our daily lives, isn't it? Okay, as people think about us. Okay, that might not even be death either. Even reputation is that way. And they're blessed. But the name of the wicked will rot. There's a legacy involved, isn't it? A reputation. Things are just rottenness to the bones, aren't they? All right? So this kind of reaches a little beyond ourselves now, isn't it? This little proverb. All right. If our name is not good, if the name of the wicked is not good, that's a social shame. I think we need a little more of that these days. All right, should be applied there. All right, eight. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Wise of heart will receive commands. What does the wise of heart do? They respond to what? They respond to wisdom, don't they?
Wise counsel.
Yes, they respond to that. And the babbling fool would ruin. The idea, there's fool, but there's a babbling fool. Can you talk so much that wisdom, you know, it just doesn't have an application?
Yes.
You just tell everything you know, or, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, you know everything you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, I don't know. Some people just talk. All right?
They talk when they have nothing to say. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting sometimes, okay? It doesn't tend to repeat, all right? You got an aunt that way.
Who?
Who would that be?
I don't have an aunt.
She's your aunt, too.
But it's interesting. It just kind of keeps on going. All right, that's okay. But it also learns something on our part, doesn't it?
What not to do?
Well, no. All right, I try to treasure each moment, whatever it is. Okay, and there's something there. There's a kernel in there. Okay, that I can learn from and try to get in my permanent memory. All right, but they're also expecting themselves to, aren't they?
A lot of chaff in there.
But also in babbling. Okay, that's another deal. Babbling fool would be ruined. That's off the subject a little bit. But.
I think we also need to, on verse 8, where it says the wise of heart will receive commands, we need to make sure that we're not misinterpreting that to say the wise of heart will ask for instruction. Because you can ask all you want, but if you're not receiving it and putting the wise instruction to use, then you're not that wise.
Right. Interesting, I just saw this here. You know, if you're receiving commands, are you talking?
No, you have to be listening.
And the next verse is a babbling, always talking. It's interesting, okay? It's hard to listen if you're always talking. So. All right.
Is it in Proverbs, Doug, in your study forward? I mean, it just cannot come to mind, and I didn't even think to look it up. There is either a proverb or a teaching that talks about, you know, the blessing of being quiet and receiving instruction.
Yes.
Instead of talking. It's.
Make a note of that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. And it goes along with receiving wise counsel and all. Now, receiving and receiving commands is maybe enveloped in that too, is the idea of heeding that, putting it into action. But in this context, it may be that. All right. Number 9. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. That's a virtue, integrity. And you walk in integrity, you walk securely. If what I say is honest, I'm an honest person, I've got a confidence in life, I walk securely. But also, if you're walking in life and people ask you, why do you believe such and such, are you afraid to tell them, to be questioned, to explain your life? As opposed to one who perverts his ways, who can't be found out. Would one who's perverted his life, concealed violence with his words, one who tells lies, do they want to be questioned?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay? And who perverts his ways will be found out. In other words, dishonesty. Honesty, the one that has integrity, and the one who's dishonest, eventually they'll be exposed, one way or another. One way or another. Okay? And we've got a proverb coming up here that deals with the idea that you can talk so much that you're going to contradict yourself. All right? And then you'll be found out also. But you always tell, if you walk with integrity and tell the truth, the next time you say it, that's what comes to mind, isn't it? All right. And Dawn's verse, number 10. He who winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will be ruined. Winks the eye causes trouble. I've got that, the idea. Winks the eye is kind of like a secret signal. Something cunning. Isn't that, in other words, it's not a good connotation. They cause trouble. I don't know. I was trying to think of some other things you can do with your body that are signals or something. I don't know. Okay? Is it tone of your voice sometimes?
You're not sincere. It's like, yes, double crossing your fingers. Like, I promise, and then you have your fingers crossed when you do that.
Yeah,
you
do know? We teach children that?
Yes.
No?
You're not sincere.
No. Okay? And a babbling fool would be ruined, which we've talked about that before. That here, I guess, this idea may be with body signs and things like that, that you can be destroyed or ruined with that.
If you can tell a person who's just in mischief all the time or doing a bunch of tomfoolery, I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but, you know, it's
could
just...
be merry foolery.
But, I mean, you know, he's just out to play tricks on people or... he's joking. You know, there are some people who just, they pretend that it's in a joking manner and that kind of thing, but it's actually...
It's cutting.
It's a harm. Yeah. It's really heightened the...
put a smile on a cutting remark.
Uh-huh.
That happens a lot at work.
That's
you
called sarcasm.
You always have to kind of... You have to be careful what you... And you have to be careful what you repeat, what you hear, and... Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to kind of decipher, like, okay, is this someone that you can really trust, or and that's
because we all make fun and you know make jokes with people and everything, but
that mindset, there's that mindset.
There
you
is,
cross.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
There, that's exactly that, you know, and it can be harmful.
And that's one thing that you know, especially like with teenagers. You know, teenagers, is, mm-hmm. You've got one in the house. That kind of that wise counsel you're trying to teach them. You know, there's a time and a place where you can joke and fool and tease, but then that teasing crosses a line depending on who you're talking to, you know, their age group, their age bracket. You know, you really have to work with them on, okay, have you just bordered to being disrespectful? Or joking around, or being mean and hurt feelings, and then so that's where we as younger parents need help with wise counsel and teaching our younger ones.
Older women help the younger.
There's no two alike, Don. If you had a dozen, each one would be different.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three, and all three of them was different.
But the same parents.
That's right. The daughter was going to get the last word in edgewise, and she had to lock her bedroom door and get it at midnight.
I've got one of those.
The two boys were just totally opposite. So, but they're all different.
Okay.
And I don't think nobody can tell anybody how to raise their kids. And I learned that when I was probably maybe your age. I had a neighbor. We moved to the neighborhood, and her daughter changed clothes every 5 minutes. And I said, I would never put up with that. And she started laughing. She was a lot older than me, so she already had practically grown kids. Well, actually, she did. She had one in service. She said, you got a lot to learn. Well, guess what? That daughter did the same thing. So I said, I've learned my lesson. I won't ever tell anybody my kids won't do this or that. So,
what's the responsibility we see in Proverbs? What did the mother and the father do, though?
Teach wisdom.
They expose it to them, though, don't they? Mm-hmm. That's not all you do, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right?
And you discipline.
And you go by the example, too.
You discipline.
Exactly.
Okay, you're disciplined, you 15-year-old. I won't let you watch the evening news. Is that a big one?
No.
That'd be all right.
It has to be appropriate. It has to be appropriate.
You have to be wise.
That's right.
Oh, I'm getting my reward now. She's got two. Just like her.
That's the best thing. So I step back when your kids get what they deserve.
I step back and laugh.
The backlash will come back and get you, though. And number 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Now, what's this fountain of life? What does fountains connote? Or if you was in the desert, what fountain connote?
Continuous flow.
Okay. Refreshing? Maybe. Life-giving? Maintains life? So the mouth of the righteous maintains, refreshes life, but what about the wicked? They hurt life, don't they? With this hidden intent? If you have a fountain of life, it means it's probably good water, good for you, clean for you, does the right thing for your body and your mind. But violence will hurt that life, pollute life, let's say. Okay.
It's like healing and gladness and well-being and, you know, all those things. It shows a heart of those things, too. It shows a heart of love, you know, out of Christ, you know, the fountain, you know, life flows. Yeah, blessings.
That's right.
And so the mouth of the righteous is a blessing.
To themselves and to others, isn't it? Okay? That's right. And that's the mouth there. Who just said mouth? Okay, interesting words. 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions.
Does it really?
Is love able to fix all transgressions?
No.
Not fix them.
No, you can't fix them. You can love someone to death, but you cannot make them stop drinking.
Hatred stirs up strife. Hatred in the form of murmuring, backbiting. I'm not really thinking manifest itself in violence here. Okay? But strife does lean that way.
The hatred does bring about violence.
Yes,
though.
Yes. But strife. Strife is the idea, that may be a violent physical part of thing. It may be just bad words back and forth too. Strife. Ill feelings. Okay? Extreme discontentment.
I think it goes back to what Leslie said. I mean, it can be subtle, or it can be this hatred violence type thing. But if you use it in the forgiving sense, if you're not forgiving, you've got this constant strife. You'll never forget. But this constant strife inside. And then if the love that covers maybe is the forgiveness, the love that you have for God to forgive, because you want to be forgiven.
Yes.
Can relieve some of that strife.
It shows an humble heart, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I mean, what I was thinking about is like Vera. What Vera did in her family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there comes a point where you just got to say, I forgive her, and let it go.
How are you coming with peace at that? 1 Corinthians 13, Everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. Love is patient, love is kind, not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not take into an account a wrong suffered, and does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, I don't know if this covers here is talking about forgiveness or not, to tell you the truth. I think it's how you react to that. 1 Corinthians 13 is how love acts.
How do I act towards when I've been wronged?
Exactly.
When a violence has been inflicted on me by someone. How I've had speech that's a bit, that I've been lied to. Okay, how do I react to that?
That's what you're saying. That's what verse 12 is talking about, is how you react,
that's how,
and not about forgiveness.
We're moving that way.
Because the strife, hatred, if you react in a hateful manner and in like manner, you are going, you know, you don't. There's not peace. It's because of strife. But if you react, if you do what you can, you know, in acting rightly, then it's love acting, and some of those things are settled.
I'm just thinking too. That stands by itself there. If we say instead of the word love, we say the word wisdom, covers all transgressions. Not covers up, but has a remedy for all transgressions. Does wisdom have a remedy for all transgressions? One way or another does.
Yeah.
It? Yes. Okay. Just a thought. All right. All right. 13. On the lips, remember we got mouth and all that sort of thing. On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding. One who discerns, one who chooses properly, one has discretion in the way they talk. Wisdom's found, isn't it? Wisdom is there, isn't it? But sometimes for the rod is for the back of him who lacks this understanding. Are some worthy of correction, chastisement, punishment? Okay. Is rod literal here or not? It's both applications, probably. Sure. Okay. I could extend this in the family. I could extend it to a government operating. Same idea. All right.
The elders. Any,
sure.
Any part of authority would fit that. You know, whether it's the sergeant in the army or whatever. You know, they're going to discipline. You know, a soldier who gets out of line, right, James?
Right.
and a fool does not like. What? Correction, do they? Or discipline? All right. Exposure of what they're doing. Okay, lacks understanding and worthy punishment. 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Wise men store up knowledge. Why do they store it up? So they can make the right what in life?
Decisions.
Okay? And also choosing what occasions to use the wisdom. Same idea. But the mouth of the foolish, ruin is at hand. Through the mouth, through what they say, strife comes. We just saw that. Okay, and trouble comes.
Goes back to the babbling fool and ruin.
Yeah. And ruin is at hand. At hand is the idea of nearby. Okay? So it's not far from a fool's mouth. There's some kind of destruction and ruin, trouble. It's not far from their mouth. Okay? All right. 15. The rich man's wealth is his fortress. The ruin of the poor is their poverty. First part. The rich man's wealth is his fortress. What does a rich man think about wealth?
It's important to him.
It's a fortress.
It's what he trusts and counts on.
That's right.
What he depends on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay.
He'll take care of him forever.
Is that true? Is that true?
That's what he thinks.
Or is that
what he thinks.
That's his imagination, isn't it?
That's what he thinks.
Okay? Eventually it is. All right? And the ruin of the poor is their poverty. What? If I think I'm poor, and I think I've been oppressed. If I'm in poverty and I'm poor, I think I've been oppressed. And I think people have done this to me. What kind of attitudes do I have?
Anger.
You have anger, don't you? Okay?
People are going to owe you something.
If I'm in poverty, the ruin of the poor, if I'm in poverty, this idea of lazy, well, if I think I just can't get out of it, does that ruin my life? Does that ruin the poor? Or do you use it as, no, I can do better than this. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to gather when I should be gathering.
If you think you can't get out of it, you just give up.
You give up. So the ruin of the poor is their poverty. See? All right? They think the poverty is their ruin, and it's not. Okay? That's a good lesson.
When you go back to the rich man's wealth, this is fortress. It makes me think of all of the people who lost everything during the Wall Street collapse.
It's like Enron.
And all the suicides local. That were committed because they lost everything and didn't think, you know, that their fortune was gone, so they had nothing else to live for.
Yeah, their reputation.
Right.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Sometimes they may have guided other people, and they've lost all theirs, so they really felt the heavy burden. I mean, they were conscientious.
Right.
How do you react to it? Yeah. Sorry.
But also, it's more of a, all through the Proverbs, it talks about the person that's wealthy or has a wealth is the person that has knowledge and wisdom. They store it up. They go out and get it and store it up. It's because if you have that, you have something. If you have nothing, if you have poverty, you don't have the smarts, the wisdom to make your life any better. Yeah. So it's not necessarily a true
monetary
thing. It could be a spirit, more of a
spiritual thing. That's right.
That's what I was wondering. If this wealth could be the wealth of wisdom, and the poor and the poverty be the fool.
Of course, it says the rich man's wealth. Rich.
Man's what is he rich
wealth.
In?
Yes, that's right.
Rich in wisdom.
but when you don't have wisdom, like Don said, you do.
There are practical applications of that.
Suicide because you don't have that wisdom, and it is a wealth that you need.
I know a lot of poor, monetarily poor, good, righteous people.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they don't dwell on it, do they?
And they do. Yeah. It is, and you know, it, exactly. And it's not, and their poverty is not, they don't think themselves poor because they're in poverty. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think in light of what we've seen, I too think it's talking about either rich or poor in wisdom and listening and being discerning, that kind of thing. Because in verse 16:1, the wages of the righteous is life.
I wonder what Solomon thought about 15, first part. Early years and later years.
I'm sure he meant
the rich man's wealth is a fortress.
Physical wealth.
Interesting. Okay.
But he didn't pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed for wisdom, not wealth. So Solomon was not coming from that.
Later years, who knows?
He wrote this later years after he left the Lord.
And again, he had a lot of dignitaries visiting him also, so this made some application there. 16, the wages of the righteous, is life. The income of the wicked, punishment. Well, what comes out of a life? What comes out of the wage of the righteous is what? Life. A full, pleasant life, security, that sort of thing. But the income, the wages of the wicked is what? Punishment. In other words, there's a result. There's an outcome for one's actions in that. Okay? One is life, fulfillment, and one's punishment. Okay? In other words, eventually there's going to be a payment to pay, a result in it, a reward, if you want to say that. That's more general. That's a good one. If you want to pick out a general one, that's a good one. All right. 17. He is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. clean, right? If you're on the path of life, you listen to instruction, don't you? Hopefully wise instruction. And but he who ignores reproof or correction goes astray. You're not on the path. You're not on the path of life. And you tend to ignore things. All right? Clean. That's a nice general proverb. All right. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. If you can, that's what we were talking about a while ago. You conceal this hatred for others with your words. You have lying lips, don't you? You've been through that. And he who spreads slander is a fool.
Yeah.
What does slander do to people?
It
can change people's opinions of other people, can it? Okay? Does it change their influence? If you slander someone, who has slandered, let's say. Yes, okay, on others. You see that in politics all the time, don't you? All right.
It also changes the way people look at the person who's doing the slandering. When they find out that you've slandered someone and it's a boss tale, then you're like, you've lost all credibility with them.
Well, see, that's what we're saying here. And who spreads slander is a fool. Mm-hmm. See? Is a slander is a lie, isn't it? Right.
People learn very early if you are trustworthy to be told things that they don't want spread. Mm-hmm. It only takes one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And slander is not just tale bearing,
right?
You know, like what you're talking about. It's creating a lie and fudging the truth and coloring it and all that kind of stuff so as to hurt.
When you slander, are you concealing hatred for someone?
No, you're showing your contempt for someone.
Okay. There's a lot of things, okay? 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who retains his lips is wise. Many words restrains his lips.
King James is multitude.
Multitudes of words?
Mm-hmm.
When you're angry and you're running at the mouth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Transgression is unavoidable.
No stop.
That's right. It's like we were talking a while ago, wasn't it? That you talk so much. Okay, and words are followed.
So things are said that you can't take back.
But restrain your lips is wise. What's that?
Think before you speak.
Yeah.
Don't regret what you say.
Yeah.
And then you have to mix that verse with verse 12.
Okay.
Because if you're concealing some of your feelings, you've got to deal with that.
Yeah.
All about balance.
Mm-hmm.
And none of this is easy. Yeah. But
it's doing nothing what you should do?
No,
you have to try.
And you're using restraint, constantly consulting, and counseling, whatever it is. Okay. All that maturity thing in it. All right.
That's why Solomon, in the very first chapter, 1 through 5, talks about discernment. It gives discernment. So, you know, studying these things and studying God's Word will help you to have discernment, even when to correct or when to let go. When to confront.
Sometimes there might be a time you do nothing. We just said she could do something, but sometimes it's best just to
find the time,
let it go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do nothing. You ponder it more. You try to gather more information, maybe different sources, or you quiz again. Okay, about that situation, because you got to be careful if you say, I'll do nothing. What is the outcome of that?
Sleepless nights.
Well, there may be some of that because it rolls around in your brain. Why didn't I do this? Especially to manifest itself later on and really something that hurts people.
But you could be saving yourself from those regretful words that you can't take back.
Huh. Yeah. If you hold back something and you know somehow you're going to get slandered and all that sort of thing because you told them right things, but they're going to slander you from that point. Do you hold back for that reason? No. Okay.
He who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. We just studied that. Jesus was a great example of, you know, the hypocritical Pharisees were after him all the time, and they asked him all these dumb questions, just trip him up and everything. Of course, Jesus knew their hearts, but there were times he did not answer the question they asked. He was not drawn into all these arguments. Paul tells Timothy as a preacher, don't get drawn in to all these arguments and all these petty, you know, things that people come up with. You know, just stay with the program. And sometimes it's better just to walk away from a scoffer or a person who's just trying to push your buttons, and or deal with the real issue. You know, and maybe you need time to think about, how am I going to deal with this real issue?
And you can teach some people who want to push your buttons or get a reaction out of you, and that's really control.
That's all right?
And if they see that you didn't respond to them
exactly
the way they were thinking you would,
exactly.
Okay, actually, who's come out ahead? Okay. Wisdom has come out ahead in that point. Okay? So it's interesting.
My sister's hurt. She had a little boy that liked to throw himself on the floor, you know, and there's two responses, pick him up and give him a good spanking, or just let him bang his head on the floor, you know, and if it hurts, he'll stop. But, I mean, you know, so what do you do? You know, of course, you have to decide. But sometimes it's just better they're going to try to get you to do something that they want to do, and so they do their little fit. You know,
yeah, they jump up and down the floor. Well, just keep jumping. You'll get tired.
Yeah.
Right?
But both of them work. I walked out of the room before. I said, when you get through, let me know.
Yeah,
let me know. It's not positive. Or if the occasion calls for the discipline, then I'm disciplined.
Well, I had a nephew that way. He would slam his head into stuff and, you know, the floor or whatever, and you know, it's like I told my sister, I said, let him slam his head. If he's slamming it against a glass and it's going to break the glass and it's going to destroy your property, then move him. Let him slam it on something else.
We don't want him to bleed to death.
as a parent, too, that's good advice. Maybe not don't react too quickly to the situation.
Right.
Hmm. You're embarrassing me in front of these other people. Whoa.
But at some point, you have to learn that it's inappropriate.
That's
yes.
Right. That's exactly right. Give him up, take him out.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if it's in the privacy of your home, knock yourself out.
If
sometimes
you're at the store,
they just need to learn.
If you're at the store, they fall to the floor.
I had one
on
last
floor.
Night who was spinning and spinning and spinning, and I kept saying, you're going to need to quit that. You've got to throw up. You need to quit that.
Let him throw up.
He did. Of course, then I got to deal with that. But
no, let him deal with it. He's old enough now.
Is he?
Sorry, yeah.
Well,
you may have to go back later when he's not available to see that you're cleaning it up, but let him clean it up and then, you know, and deal with the mess.
I should have done that. But I asked him, I said, next time I tell you to stop spinning, are you going to keep doing it? He said,
yeah. Our children have to learn that there are consequences to their bad behavior, and sometimes, you know, It's like a teenager who goes out and wrecks a car because they were acting recklessly. They got to pay for it. You know, mom and daddy just don't pick up the tab.
All kids are different. Each one has got an individual personality for doing these quirks that we're talking about. But every parent thinks that he can solve the other parent's problem, but that's not true.
All right, we'll do 20, start 20 next time.